Amen. You can be seated. I just want to share something briefly from the Word with you, and then we're just going to take a moment to pray with one another. And just want to elaborate on something that I actually said Sunday when I was preaching, and just for a short moment, and then I really want us just to take a moment just to pray together. So go with me to two passages of Scripture. Go with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and Genesis chapter 5. Ecclesiastes 4 and Genesis 5. That's Ecclesiastes chapter 8. We'll be looking at verse 4, but it's Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and Genesis 5. Look at me, Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 4. It says, where the word of a king is, there is power. So, where is a king's power found? In his word. Isn't that what it just said? It says, where the word of a king is, there is power. So a king's power is in his word. Now go with me to Genesis chapter 5, verse 24. It says, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And just briefly, Sunday when I was preaching, we talked about in that one verse you can find a great new covenant truth. The new covenant truth is simply this. The longer that we walk with God, we vanish. You know, the longer we walk with God, we begin to disappear. In other words, as we walk with the Lord, it becomes less of me and more of him. And what I'm ultimately saying is as we walk with God, our walk is a transforming walk. Our walk is a changing walk. I think John said it best when he was explaining to his disciples. He said, he must increase, but I must decrease. And that's what happens when you walk with God. As you walk with God, you are decreasing more and more, and he is increasing more and more, that it's less of me, and it's more of him. You know, if the Bible promises anything, it promises transformation. Romans 8:28 says, we know that all things work together for the good, for those who are called according to his purpose. And what is this good thing that all things are supposed to be working? Well, then you have Romans 8:29, which says, for whom he did foreknow, he did predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. So, what is this good thing that all things are supposed to be working? Transformation, change, being conformed more and more into the image of Christ. I'm going to tell you something. Nothing in your life is being wasted, whether it's good, whether it's bad. It fits into all things. Whether it's easy, whether it's hard, it fits into all things. Whether it's something you understand, whether it's something you don't understand, it fits into all things. God is wasting nothing in your life. He is going to use all things to conform you to the image of Christ. So our walk with God is a transforming walk. But here's the question that's just on my heart this morning. It is in walking with God that our life is transformed. And in walking with God, where is the power of God found? If it's simply in walking with the Lord and keeping our focus upon the Lord that our lives are transformed, then in walking with God, where is the power of God found? And we actually find that in the book of Amos. So go with me to the book of Amos, chapter 3. I'll give you a moment to find it. Amos is just one of those little books tucked in there somewhere. If you get to Hosea, then go to Joel, and then Amos is right after Joel. Look with me at verse 3. Verse 3 says, can two walk together? I hear leaves turning, I'll wait. Verse 3 says, can two walk together unless they are agreed? So in order for Enoch to walk with God, he had to agree with God. And here's the point that I'm making. The power of a transforming walk is in agreement. In other words, the power of a transforming walk is simply walking in agreement with God's word, walking in agreement with God. The power of a transforming walk is simply having a heart that loves truth and embraces truth. And if God speaks something from his word to our heart, it's just walking in agreement with that, saying, God, if you say this is true, then it's true. And that's when your walk becomes supernatural. That's when your walk with God becomes a walk of transformation. It's simply that I'm focused upon the Lord. And I'm telling you, when you're focused upon the Lord, the first thing he's going to do is start talking to you. And when you just have a love for his word, that's when your life begins to change. When there's just something in your heart that agrees with his word, that's when your life begins to change. Remember we talked about Peter. He said, Jesus, if it's you, let me come on the water. And Jesus spoke his word. He said, come. And we talked about how Peter didn't walk upon the water. He walked upon the word of God. He got out of the boat. He stepped on the word, come, the power of his word. And he began to walk to Jesus. But here's what we have to understand. When Peter was walking upon the water, it represents he was walking in a place of agreement with the word of God. And that's when his walk became supernatural. You see, when he got his eyes off of the word of God, began to look at the winds and the waves, that's when his walk started to become unsupernatural. He began to sink. But when he stayed in that place of agreement with the word of God, it was a supernatural walk. And that's all I'm simply saying is when we love his word and have a heart to embrace his word, I'm telling you, and you're focused on the Lord and he's speaking to your life and there's just something that says, yes, God, I know this is truth and I come in agreement with it. I'm telling you, that's when you begin to walk in a life of transformation. But here's the flip side to that. Sometimes when the Lord speaks to us from his word, it's not always easy on the flesh, is it? It takes a lot of grace to embrace it. When the Lord tells you, I want you to love your enemies, it's not always easy, is it? When he says in Matthew 5, I want you to do good to those who are always doing bad to you. You ever had someone in your life that was always doing bad to you? Every time they opened their mouth and spoke, it was just like knives going in your heart. But the Lord says in Matthew 5, Do good to those who hate you. It's not always easy to do, is it? But yet, if there's just a willingness in our heart that says, Lord, this is your worth, this is your truth, this is what you're speaking into my life, this is a kingdom quality about your heart, then God, if you'll give me the grace to do it, I'll do it, Lord. I'm not here to pick and choose what I'm going to obey. Have you ever noticed in Psalm 107, it says, he sent his word and healed him? You ever read it? Come on, talk to me. You ever read it? It says he sent his word and healed him. Do you notice it is singular and not plural? It doesn't say he sent his words and healed him. It says he sent his word and healed him. In other words, this is one word. If you're going to embrace one verse, you have to embrace all the verses. You're not at liberty to pick and choose what you're going to obey. We're not at liberty to say, well, God, this sounds good. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. This sounds good, but this part over here about Job going into a furnace of affliction, I don't like that part too much. Well, the Lord speaks to our heart very lovingly. He says, you know what? The blessings of Abraham are for you. But if you're going to claim the blessings of Abraham, sometimes you have to expect the testings of Job because it's one word. You can't pick and choose. But here's what I'm saying. When we embrace the word to our hearts, that's when it has the power to heal you. When we not only embrace the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, but when we begin to embrace, if any man be my disciple, he has to die to himself and pick up his cross and follow me. When we embrace the word, that's when it becomes your healer. It's when the power of the word begins to work and supernaturally transform your life. Amen. Our walk with God is a transforming walk. When we walk in agreement with him and his word, in the good things and the bad things and the easy things and the hard things, the things we understand and the things we don't understand. Real quickly, I want you to go with me to Luke chapter 23. Look with me at verse 6. Luke 23, verse 6 says, when Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked if Jesus were a Galilean. And as soon as he heard that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at that time. Now, when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he had desired to see him for a long time, because he had heard many things about him, how he hoped to see miracles done by him. So, Pilate sends Jesus to Herod, hoping to get, you know, Jesus out of his hair and this whole mess out of his hair. And he says, oh, let's send them to Herod. And the Bible says that when Herod saw Jesus, he was glad. Because he had heard of all the miracles that Jesus performed. And in his heart, he was so glad. Finally, the miracle man is standing in front of me. This is my chance to see a real miracle. Finally, the miracle man is right here. And I can see a real miracle. Somebody bring me a piece of bread. Thank you. See this bread, Jesus? Can you multiply it into 100 pieces of bread? Right here. I'll put it on the table. Get to multiplying. Oh, I can't wait. I'm so excited. Jesus, I got a pool out back. Walk on the water for me. Oh, I'm so excited. I get to see a miracle. Oh, I'm so happy. But he didn't see a miracle. You want to know why he didn't see a miracle? Look with me at verse 9. says, then he questioned Jesus with many words, but Jesus said nothing. I'm going to tell you something. When Jesus doesn't speak, there is no power. Because where the word of the King is, there is power. When Jesus doesn't open up his mouth and speak his word, there will be no miracle working power. And you want to know why Jesus didn't waste his breath? Because he knew Herod wanted to be entertained by the power, but there's nothing in his heart that wanted to walk in agreement with truth. So I'm not wasting my breath. Herod, I'm not going to speak, and because I'm not going to speak, you're not going to see any kind of power. Now, with that being said, go with me to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, look at me at verse 47. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, and he said, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. And Nathanael said, how do you know me? And Jesus said, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael answered and said to him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And Jesus answered and said, because I said to you, I saw you under a tree. I'm telling you, you're going to see greater things than these. And he said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. So the very moment Jesus sees Nathanael, Jesus opens his mouth and he begins to talk. There's nothing that can keep his mouth closed. Jesus, there's something in his heart that says, I am ready to speak now. So he sees Nathanael coming and he opens his mouth and he begins to speak and Nathanael's blown away. But here's what you got to understand. Jesus didn't just open his mouth and speak. He started making him a promise. You think this is a miracle? You're going to see greater miracles. You're going to see heaven open and you're going to see the kingdom of God come with great power. You're going to see the sick healed and the lame man walk and the blind man see and everything that represents in the spiritual realm in the kingdom of God. Philip, you think you've seen a miracle? I promise you, you're going to see greater miracles. Now, here's my point. Herod wanted to see miracles and he left disappointed. Then Philip is introduced to the king. And he not only sees a miracle, but he's promised greater miracles. So we have to ask the question, well, what in the world is the difference between Herod and Philip? What's the difference? Well, you actually find it. Look with me at verse 44. It says, now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Now listen to this. And Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also in the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. That's very powerful and important. He comes to Nathanael and he says, Nathanael, the one that you've been reading about in the law and the prophets and in the Psalms, we found him. In other words, here's what I'm saying. Nathanael was looking for the Messiah of the scriptures. He wanted to walk with the one who was in the word. Listen, he wasn't interested in walking in a Messiah that was shaped after his own desires. He wasn't interested in walking with a Messiah that was shaped after his own ideas and the own longing of his heart. No, he in his heart, he said, just give me the one of the book. Just give me the one of the word. And it's because he longed to walk with the Messiah of the word that he got a promise. Your whole life is going to be seeing kingdom miracle after kingdom miracle after kingdom miracle because the Jesus that you want is the one of the book. So my question to you is, what Jesus are you seeking? Is it the one in the book? I'm telling you, when you just want the one who's in the book, just want to walk in agreement with the one who's in the book, that's when your life becomes supernatural. That's when the promises of God just begin to explode in your life. That's when kingdom promises just begin to explode in your life. That's when heaven just opens over your heart and all the promises of God that are yea and amen in him begin to explode in your heart. Because I just want the one in the book. Amen. So what I'm simply saying is, when you love his word, and you just want to know the Christ that's in the book, and there's just something in your heart that says, oh, Jesus, if you say it, I'll agree with it, even if it takes grace. That's when your life becomes supernatural. It's when it becomes a transforming walk with God. I don't know about you, but I know one of my greatest prayers is, Lord, I just want to love your word more and more. I just want to have something in my heart that just wants to seek you and find you in your word. Amen. You know, in Psalm 119, David said, I love your word more than gold. He was not being sarcastic. He was a king and he knew the value of gold. But he was saying there is absolutely no worldly wealth in this world that even can come close to how much I love your word. If I had to choose between your word and absolute poverty, it ain't even no contest. Come and take my castle. Come and take my donkeys. Come and take my chariots. Come and take my gold. Come and take my bed. Come and take, just come and take everything. Just leave me my Bible and I'll be happy. He wasn't sarcastic. And that's what I just want to pray. I just want us to break up in two. Listen to me. And can we just pray for each other? God, would you just give me a heart to truly love your word? Would you just give me a desire to just walk in agreement with your word when it's both easy and when it's both hard? Would you just give me something that says, oh God, if this is what your word says, I agree. And the Lord says, when you agree with my word, that's when you're going to experience its healing power in your life. So I'm not going to drag it out. Find somebody to pray with. Come on, come on. Stretch your legs. Come on, stretch your legs. And let's just pray for a love for his word, or a deeper love for his word. Oh God, let David's testimony be my testimony, that God, I would just love your word more than anything in this world. I would love your word. All right, if you'll stand, we'll close. Lord, we just thank you for our Bibles, God. Because for your own reasoning, you chose to reveal your Son and the whole essence of God in them, Lord. That is an amazing thing, God. And I pray that we would truly grow to love your word and treasure it even more, God. God, it would truly be our most priceless possession, as it was David's, God. Lord, we ask that as we just love your word and walk in agreement with your word, that our walk with God would become supernatural. It'd be a transforming walk with God. I thank you for that, Lord. Lord, we love you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.